Hi, everyone. My name's Talia. Once again, welcome to today's Leadership Summit. I am one of the hosts from the Dose of Pharma team. So today we have the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Nabila Ismail, who is a pharmacist, content creator, and a world traveler. So we are so excited to speak with you here today. So thank you so much for coming. So to start off with, we have a few questions for you. So would you just be able to briefly introduce yourself and tell us about the things you juggle on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah. Can everyone hear me? Cool. Well, thank you all for having me. I can definitely start with that. There's quite a lot. I think I'll just talk about kind of what I started with and what brought me to where I am now and why I'm in Melbourne and why I'm at your school. So I'm a pharmacist. I graduated my PharmD in New York in 2019. And then I've made a few career pivots in my short time out of school where I moved over to a marketing company, a startup, a health startup. And then after that, I broke into freelance journalism and now I'm a content creator. And now I work most importantly with the World Mosquito Program, which is based out of the Clayton campus, I think I said that right. Yeah, the Clayton campus. So I am working with them as an ambassador. So right now I don't work as your traditional pharmacist. So I'm not in the clinical or retail or any setting of sort. I kind of work for myself and I work with travel companies. I work with the World Mosquito Program, so NGOs, and then I consult with startups. So a lot of the same stuff that I was doing before, but now on a freelance basis, and I am also running my own travel agency, like a boutique travel agency.
Wow, it sounds like you're a very, very accomplished individual. You're wearing so many different hats. It's so incredible. So you said that, I guess, it's a little bit different to what a traditional pharmacist, you know, may do. So what kind of really inspired you to, you know, to start your Instagram account, to start, you know, freelance journaling? What kind of was the main motivator?
Yeah, oddly enough, before I went to pharmacy school, I wanted to study fashion. And so I had this little blog that was just for me and I didn't really share it to anyone. And so I always had like an interest in writing. So I ran this blog. And then when I started pharmacy school, I don't really have a budget to go shopping and nobody cares what you look like in school. So I started to kind of get demotivated on posting about that. And it didn't really align with like my life anymore since pharmacy was taking over. And so I still wanted to write and I didn't feel like there was enough information out there about pharmacy and what I was looking for specifically. So I was one of the students that kind of knew I didn't want to be a traditional pharmacist, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do. And so I used my curiosity and kind of lack of, I guess, my career to interview other pharmacists that were doing unique things. And so I turned that into my blog. So we've done a lot of rebrands for Dose of Travel. And so I just kept writing about that. And then I started to travel in the summer breaks. And then it became Dose of Travel because it was a little dose of travel. And then it was also pharmacy related. And that's kind of what helped me make those pivots. They may seem that they're not connected in any way, but there's a lot of intent and leveraging of like what I was passionate about. And there's still a lot of elements of pharmacy into what I do now.
Yeah, thank you so much. I mean, we can definitely tell that you're very, very passionate about what you do, which is incredible to hear. So since you have so many, different passions, is it kind of like your favorite? Do you have something that you're most passionate about or your favorite thing about what you do? It's a hard question.
It is truly a hard question. I feel like I'm always reflecting and evaluating what brings me joy. Not as much about a specific job, but values of everything that I do and what I kind of like hold on to as I move from career to career. And I think for me, a big theme would probably be access. So at first it was access to medications and healthcare. And then when I moved over to that like startup, it focused on healthcare as well. It was a discount card company. So I'm from the States and our healthcare system is quite complex. Most people can't afford their medications. And so this move was like to focus on changing healthcare from like more of a top level instead of individually. And now I think my focus is access to healthcare information, travel information, but also access to travel. And so I think I love just the aspect of connecting with people and bringing some sort of joy or knowledge or value to them wherever they are in their like career. So some people follow me for pharmacy things, like some of you. Some people follow me for travel inspiration or to feel I don't know, motivated about career transitions. So I feel like I like the connection part probably the most.
Yeah. Just a bit of a side note, I've actually been following Nabila on Instagram for about 2 years. So for me, it's kind of like a starstruck moment being able to speak with her today. And I really do like the variety of content you post, you know, the traveling inspirations, but also the pharmacy side too. So I guess linked into pharmacy, so you mentioned that you had an interest in like health access. Did that kind of interest start when you were a student? Like, how was your pharmacy student experience?
Yeah. It was quite varied. I think I was very lost in what I wanted to do. And I think we were just chatting about it, about like how typically there's either the retail route or the hospital route. And I knew early on that neither of those really like piqued my interest, mainly because I had done an internship at a retail pharmacy in high school. And then hospital just wasn't my kind of environment. And so I focused on a lot of different things and I was fortunate enough to create my, I think our whole pharmacy school structure is quite different than yours, so it might not make sense, but we do a lot of rotations throughout our 4 years of our doctoral program. And so I use those opportunities because you're not getting paid for it, but you have to do it. So I was like, I might as well do something I want to be doing. And so I set up my own interests. So I did a rotation at a marketing agency, like a healthcare marketing agency. And then I did one abroad in Zimbabwe, which was focused on HIV/AIDS. And so even while doing all of that, it was still very access focused. I don't think I really thought of it that way because, yeah, I'm in an agency in New York, which is super fancy and working with pharma companies that have a lot of marketing dollars. But then the next time I'm in Zimbabwe, focusing on how people will get HIV/AIDS medication. And so I just didn't realize that they were all interlinked, to be honest. But I think deep down, that was kind of what I was going towards was access. It just took me a while for it to click.
Yeah, I think that it's really great. Like you were able to, I guess, try out a different field. So you said marketing, you went abroad, experienced what healthcare was kind of like in Zimbabwe. Like that's just very important to, I guess, try to understand what your interests and where your passions lie. So that's pretty cool. So obviously, I guess it would have taken a lot of courage, I think, to, you know, to just kind of drop things and go travel. How was that process like for you?
Yeah, it appeared spontaneous, but it was very much a calculated risk. Yeah. I think before I graduated pharmacy school, I had, like most of us do, like a plan, like a 5-year, 10-year plan. And mine was very much a 3-year plan based on my student loans and where I'd be in my career. And I said, after 3 years of working in retail pharmacy, I will quit and go travel for a year just because I really wanted to give myself the opportunity while I still could. So for me, I did 7 years of school, 3 years of undergrad, 4 years of grad, and started my career at the peak of COVID. And so I knew I'd be burned out and wanted to give myself rest and an opportunity to kind of reflect on what would be next. And so I found my journal entry that said I was going to quit at like 3 years' time. And so I put in my notice. I was like, oh, wait, I have to do this. And so it was kind of honoring myself and just taking that risk. But at that point, I had already pivoted my career and was doing something so different from my 3-year plan. And I had been monetizing my content and had started freelance writing. And so I felt quite secure in leaving because I wasn't completely going unemployed. It was more self-employed. And I still had the opportunity to travel. So it was very much calculated. It just kind of happened in a way I didn't expect.
Yeah. I mean, it's really nice to hear that, you know, you had this plan and you kind of still followed through with it, you know, quitting, I guess, after 3 years to go travel and, you know, you still had like your freelance journaling and you were quite set, which is really inspiring to hear, I think, for all of us here today. So in terms of just your travel, has there been a favorite place that you've traveled to?
This question is always one of the toughest. I love a lot of places I go to, almost all of them for different reasons, but ones that kind of just stay in my head would definitely be Lebanon, Vietnam, and Pakistan.
Yeah, cool. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
So just, I guess, since you have traveled so widely around the globe, you mentioned kind of your interest in health access. So have you had a lot of, I guess, experiences, for example, when you went to Zimbabwe, where you really saw the issues in health access, or are there any other examples you can recount?
Yeah, I have had a lot of experiences. I think the biggest one would probably be just being a community pharmacist in the States.
Yeah.
So most of my career, I worked in a low-income community. And I saw, like, lack of access every day, people would come in, right? Like, I feel like a lot of us go into healthcare to help people. And for me, I would get frustrated that I couldn't. I was giving them the medications, but they couldn't leave with it because they couldn't afford it. And so there's very little at that point I can do because, you know, you work for a company and you can't just slide them the tablets and be like, hey, like, I know you need these. And so I definitely felt that I was exposed to it all the time. But when I did go abroad to Zimbabwe, it was kind of different access of care. A lot of people didn't have very basic necessities like clean water, hygiene, or access to information, like even knowing what HIV AIDS like was and why they were even diagnosed with it. I remember going into like youth groups and hospitals where people are just like, I don't know why I have this or like who gave it to me, and just not understanding the basics of like their disease. So they weren't even being provided like counseling or information or even had access to go to a doctor, which I feel was different coming from the States. We usually can afford to at least go see a doctor and are a little bit more educated as to what we're like need treatment for. And then I did also go to Uganda on a research grant to focus on like inclusive hygiene and sanitation. And that's where I focused on completely unrelated to pharmacy, but I would go to primary schools and we would assess how their like toilets, bathroom situation, and access to just hygiene in the school would affect dropout rates of students, and like menstruation specifically with women or girls. And just seeing that so many students didn't go because they couldn't even like get to the closest school or didn't have the basic needs if they were disabled to sit in a classroom or to, you know, utilize a bathroom to stay like and get an education. So I have had a lot of experiences, but I think you kind of see it on a daily basis, just like in your own regular life too. Some people can't afford medication. Some people, you know, can't take a day off of work to go to a doctor to even see what's going on.
Yeah. Wow. It's thank you once again for sharing your experiences. That's it's quite, I guess, scary as well to see the lack of, I guess, access and even health literacy, I guess, around the world.
Yeah.
So in relation to that, are there any other global challenges that you've seen, even if it's not related to health, that you think it's something that we should really like take action on?
Yeah, I guess this one is related to health, but it's probably like top of mind because that's kind of why I'm here in Australia. So last year when I quit my job for like the world travels that I was going to go on, 2 weeks into it, I caught dengue fever in Bali, and that kind of changed a lot of things for me. Dengue typically isn't really, you know, severe for most people, especially if it's your first time or you're young and healthy, which I would consider myself to be both of those. I actually caught a severe form of it, hemorrhagic dengue fever. And so I was hospitalized for 2 weeks abroad in a country that I wasn't quite familiar with, didn't speak the language. And in the States, we don't really have dengue, especially in New York, more so like the Caribbean part. And so I was a little stressed. I definitely was scared because you can actually die from dengue. And since being diagnosed with dengue, I've heard a lot of stories of how young people who are traveling or just locals passed away with dengue. And that really got me inspired to share that information. This was one that tied both of my interests so well, like healthcare and travel. And so I hopped on TikTok and shared this video about like, hey, if you're coming to Bali, which I feel like so many people go to Bali and maybe even more Australians since it's really close to you. And I shared what my experience was like and wanted to warn people. And I think now I've become really passionate about talking about dengue and tropical diseases or mosquito-borne diseases. And that's kind of been my focus.
Yeah. I think that's really great that you shared that video on TikTok. That really, I think, must have helped raise a lot of awareness and really just educate people as to what's going on at the current moment. So other than, do you think if there's anything else that people are just not aware of that's going on in the world right now that they should be aware of?
I mean, there's a lot. I think there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even know where to begin. There's so many health issues. There's so many, like, obviously, like, homelessness. I think the crisis, like, recession with COVID, bouncing back from this, like, pandemic that we all went through. Mental health is definitely a big one that I'm really passionate about. And I think it affects so many people. And sometimes you don't know, like, especially with students who are, you know, excited to, like, you have to take care of yourself. So mental health is something I'm really passionate about. Dengue fever and mosquito-borne diseases, like I mentioned. Those are probably, like, my two that I'm...
Yeah.
But obviously the list could go on.
I mean, I guess as students, we're all probably sitting here wondering, like, what we could do, how we can kind of evoke change. So do you have any advice on how we can kind of look into, I guess, health accessibility and literacy, and how we can, I guess, go about improving it?
Yeah. Well, I think using your voice, I think we kind of forget, especially, I don't know how it is for your school, but when I was in pharmacy school, I was surrounded by all pharmacy students. So we were all kind of on the same level, like all really smart, quote unquote, all going for like the same degree and looking for the same job. So you start to compare yourself with the people you're around, but you kind of forget that you are like surrounded by a very niche group of people. And like, if you leave that group, not everyone's going to be super well educated in pharmacy or have the same knowledge. And I think we tend to downplay ourselves and say, oh, I have nothing to offer. Like, we're all like going for the same thing. Like my friend, she's also a pharmacist or whatever. And I think we forget to use our own unique experiences and kind of forget that even the smallest things can really make a difference. So your own background of like where you grew up and how you grew up, your like your socioeconomic status, all of those things, like sharing your story definitely matters, but also having real world experiences. So when you go out into your internships or have jobs, I feel like it allows you to see a lot more. And really find your own voice, whether it is in focusing on access or mental health. I think not limiting yourself into a specific category and realizing that you can make change with your degree and kind of whatever else you're passionate about. So basically everyone has a voice, and using it however you feel, whether it's podcasting, this is a way of sharing in, like, helpful information, or if it's creating content or writing on a blog or volunteering. There's so many things that we probably already do as well.
Yeah. And just on, I guess, that point about, I guess, empowering us to use our voice, did you find that through traveling you felt more empowered to do so, or you had, I guess, more, I guess, courage to speak up about what you thought was right?
Yeah, I think solo traveling probably gave me a lot of confidence that I may have not had otherwise, because I tended to, you know, compare myself when you're in school. So being on your own, being able to reflect and kind of seeing things that you don't normally see, allowed me to open my eyes, but also realize that anyone can make a difference. Like, I'm sometimes like a foreigner in another country, but I can see different things, and that helps me kind of bring back some knowledge. But it's definitely given me the confidence to go up online and do pretty much everything that I've done. And I would argue if I didn't travel, I probably wouldn't even have gone to pharmacy school. Like, travel was a big part of my even pharmacy journey.
Wow. Would you be able to, I guess, elaborate a little bit more about travel in your pharmacy journey, maybe as like from an undergraduate perspective?
Yeah. Well, I started traveling quite young. So after my first year, like freshman year, I moved to Spain to be an au pair. I was essentially looking for things to add to my resume, but I really wanted to travel as well. And I was a broke student, so I decided to get a job abroad. And that allowed me to have a very unique experience where I lived with a family and took care of children at the age of 18, of like a 6, 5, and 2-year-old. But it also allowed me to, I don't know, I was just really interested in pharmacy at that point. And so I would go to the pharmacies in Spain and see like what that whole deal was about. I think sometimes most of my experiences didn't really align with pharmacy, but somehow helped me get the soft skills that a lot of us don't realize are important. Like being able to speak clearly and, you know, being able to talk to your patients, soft, like communication skills, leadership, speaking. And I think that really helped me going into my interview and thinking even, hey, like I can actually do this, because our pharmacy program is quite rigorous where you have to apply after your undergrad. And they give you a bunch of assessments. And then even when you are in pharmacy school, you have a bunch of assessments on your soft skills and how you could talk to patients, cultural competency. And I feel like since I had such, you know, varied experiences already in the real world, it was a lot easier to do that.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. And it's cool to hear that you were an au pair in Spain. Like, that's probably an experience that not a lot of us have had. So it's nice to hear that you can go abroad and do different things. So in terms of, I guess, developing those soft skills that you mentioned, are there any other than, I guess, like communication and public speaking, like are there any ones that really come to mind that you really developed whilst traveling? Maybe like decision making or like adaptability?
Yeah, a lot of things. Decision making was definitely one of them. I don't know. I tend to ruminate on a lot of things, but when you're on your own, like when you are sick with dengue, you have to make decisions really fast as to like how to find the hospital, where to like admit yourself and how to take care of yourself. So decision making is definitely one of them. And that's why I think leaving my job was a lot easier because I knew what I wanted. Otherwise, I probably would have consulted everyone else and I probably wouldn't be here because not everyone was supportive of me leaving a very stable job. Active listening, I would say, and like empathy, I think are really important, especially for like leaders. Just being able to know when to sit back and listen, especially in healthcare. You want to give your patient time to like actually hear them out, especially when it gets busy and you just kind of want to like get your job done. I think those are also very important ones that I learned while traveling, and also just listening to myself, like being able to sit and reflect. I know like as a student and as a working professional, I did not allow myself to rest or sit. Like I had to be doing something at every moment. But honestly, sitting and unlearning and reflecting for the first 6 months of my travels was probably the hardest thing.
Wow. Yeah, I think self-reflection is just super, super important. So it's really great to hear that you kind of developed that skill whilst traveling, and especially the decision-making as well. Like when you mentioned about dengue and making the decisions, like when do I go to the hospital or what should I do next? It's something that I guess you wouldn't really sit to think about, you know, that you'll be making decisions in that context. But it's really interesting to hear the importance of decision-making, and it is something that we carry throughout our careers as future pharmacists. So in terms of, so you've obviously been working whilst traveling, but you've also been traveling for leisure as well. So it's a bit of a hard question, but what do you think the difference is really between the two?
Yeah, I think I'm still figuring it out. I've technically been on the road for like, this is my fourth year, but in the beginning I was working remotely, and so my travel style looked different. And now I'm also reevaluating because my year of travel, which was supposed to be for fun, is technically up, and now I've entered year two, and this was not part of the plan. And so starting a boutique travel agency and travel club was also not part of the plan. So now I'm realizing that I can't work and travel as much. And so I'm looking to slow down my travels. But last year it was very much with no like real focus or pressure to work. It was more so to do things that I felt called to. So I studied Arabic for 1 month in Jordan. I took a barista course in Kenya. I volunteered in Lebanon for 6 weeks with refugees. So these are all things that I had been wanting to do. And so they were in some ways still like me doing something, I guess, and not just, you know, going to go see museums or going out every day, but more so experiential travel. Versus now I find myself holing up at like a co-working space in a certain city for like a month, and just working. So I think that's how they look different.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. I feel like you would like through, I guess like traveling and especially like kind of, you know, you said working with refugees, you'd really learn a lot about the different cultures around the world, which is, it's so important, as you mentioned before, to have a really good like cultural understanding and appreciation too. So you wear a lot of different hats. So do you have any advice, I guess, on time management?
I think you have to carve out time for things that really interest you. It's really easy to kind of forget about yourself when you're in the midst of everything. And so for me personally, I think time management's different for everyone. I like to like block out me time or things that I need to do, and creating a routine for yourself is really helpful, I feel like, because you don't waste time and like trying to figure out what you need to do. So if you have a routine, you know exactly what you're going to be doing. So I definitely recommend taking either a day for yourself as students, like one day where you just don't do schoolwork, you don't study, you don't do anything related to your degree, and allow yourself to kind of do something out of the box. But definitely like an hour or two for yourself, because self-care is so important.
Yeah, definitely. And I feel like in this crazy fast-paced life that we live in, it's sometimes easy to, I guess, lose sight of that.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's nice to hear that, you know, taking a day for yourself is like, okay, like you don't have to be studying all the time, which is really good. So one of our, I guess, our final questions from me is, do you just have any general advice for our students here about following your passions and your dreams?
Yeah. I think, yeah, don't lose sight of it when you're in school. I think it's really easy to just focus on the end game and kind of lose yourself. Your grades really aren't that serious after you leave, I promise you. Allow yourself that self-care, but allow yourself to explore while you're in school as well. I think it's the best time to do it. You're already in this discovery phase of what you want to do with your life, so you might as well kind of branch out, whether if you have an interest in maybe another discipline, see if you can take an elective. Just allow yourself to explore, and if you don't know what you want to do, figure out what you don't want to do. That kind of helps you figure out, okay, at least you can cross this off the list. And just have fun. You're only a student once. I know I could give you the classic, like, cliche things about what you should do, but honestly, sometimes it's nice to not have control, because if you allow yourself to have, like, the unexpected and lean into the discomfort, really cool things happen. Like, I could never imagine myself being here right now, like, ever. And it's because I started to, like, kind of let go on how to get where I wanted to go, but just, like, focused on, like, what really fueled me, and then things just happened on its own.
Yeah, I think personally that's really amazing advice, and I hope to take some of that on as well. Like, it's okay to not be in control all the time, so that's really, really great. Yeah. I just wanted to say thank you so much on behalf of everyone here today for coming to speak to us about your incredible experience. I'm sure we've all learnt a lot, and we have a lot to think about for ourselves personally. So could we give a round of applause to Nabila?
Thank you for having me.
Dosa Farmer acknowledges the traditional custodians of the various lands throughout Australia on which we connect today, and pays respect to elders past, present, and future.